Good morning. This is Brother Steve again with the Daily Inspiration for this morning. God bless you all this morning. Another new day that God has given us. We're going to go back to the Gospel, or actually, no, not the Gospel, the Epistle of John, First Epistle of John, and we're going to continue with our study there, our thoughts on eternal life and how we know that we have eternal life. As it says in chapter 5, verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life." And so we want to see what he wrote, and that we might determine whether we have eternal life or not. And that's kind of the theme of the book here of 1 John, is John is laying out how we might know if we have eternal life or not. We are here in chapter 3, verse 16, I think is where we're going to begin. And the next chapters, verses here kind of flow together quite a bit. And I'm not exactly sure how far we'll get, but we're gonna go here till we come to a convenient stopping place, and we'll continue tomorrow. Chapter 3 and verse 16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him." Gonna stop there for a little bit. Talks about how God loves us, how we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And that's how we know that God loves us. You know, the very famous, well-known scripture there in the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 16, you know, we have, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." I'm going to find that here. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And so, there it is. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, if we can just think about that a little bit, especially those of us who are fathers or mothers, and you think about your own children and realizing that, I don't know if you understand what a ransom is. When somebody is taken captive by an enemy and is demanding a ransom as a payment to give back the other person. And here, there is a ransom needed. The enemy, basically, in the Garden of Eden, took captive the human race by getting them to obey him. And so there is a ransom needed, and that ransom is death. Somebody must die. Now we all are under that captivity. We all are under that bondage, and therefore we cannot die for anybody else. We have our own debts to pay. However, Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Again, talking about what it was we talked about yesterday morning, about Jesus being in the flesh. And he, being a man, was able to pay that ransom. He was the ransom that was given. And he qualified, because he was not under that bondage himself. He did not submit himself to the devil at any time. We all have, some time or the other, submitted ourselves to the devil, and so we do not qualify for that ransom. And here God gave his only Son for that ransom. Now remember, that ransom must die. And so God was willing to do that. And again, just think about us fathers and mothers and their little children, and the great price that God was willing to pay, because he loved us, as it says there in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Now, I'd like to look at something else here. We know God as a loving God, a merciful God, but he's also a just God. And let's go to Exodus chapter 34. It'll give us another little peep into what the love of God really is, and so that we might understand love. You know, with our perverted minds and fallen nature and the world all around us, the word love has basically lost its meaning. And so I want to try to get back some of that meaning here, if we can. Love seems to be kind of the central theme of the first epistle of John. Love for God, God's love for us, our love for one another, our love for our neighbor, our love for those who are in need, and all those things. Love is the kind of the key word there. All right, let's go to Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6. 6 and 7. It's the place is here where Moses was up in the mountain, and Moses had begged God that he could see him, and God said, no, you cannot see my face and live, but I will go past, I will hold my hand over your face, and then once I'm past, I will let you see my hinder part. And so, anyway, verse 6 of Exodus chapter 34. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children upon... Well, okay, let's just stop there once. First of all, he says, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And we stop there. That's kind of a dividing point there where it shifts. All those things are wonderful and good. God is all those things. However, on the other side, there it shifts. And that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and to the fourth generation. There we see that God is merciful, he is long-suffering, he is abundant in goodness and truth, he keeps mercy for thousands, he forgives iniquity and transgression and sins. However, God is also just, and he will by no means clear the guilty. And that's where this ransom comes in, when we understand this verse here just seems like it contradicts itself. It seems like it cannot come together. There's two parts here that just simply do not fit. God's justice and his mercy seem to be in opposite poles. They just hardly can come together here. And that's where God's love comes in here, is where God so loved the world. And this is his tremendous love, because he would not clear the guilty. And yet, God, because of his infinite love, would stop at nothing to redeem us, fallen mankind. We all think about love. You know, you think about somebody that you love. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a brother. Maybe it's a sister. Maybe it's a son. Maybe it's a mother. And you think about how much you love that person. And then you think about what you would do for that person. Would you be willing to die for that person? Would you be willing to give your whole life to them? Or how much do you really love them? And true love, infinite love, is marked by somebody, even as God, where he would stop at nothing. And at the cross, not only God's justice needs to be satisfied, yes, God's justice needs to be satisfied, but if God's justice was going to be satisfied, that was no problem. You and I would be the ones on the cross. and God's justice would have been satisfied. However, there's another part of God that needed to be satisfied, and that was the love and the mercy of God. God, on the cross, brought those two together through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, where his infinite love and mercy came together with his perfect justice that would not clear the guilty, but would bring justice in every situation. And that's the only way that those two could get together. However, because of God's infinite love, there must have been a way made if it was at all possible, even to the death of his own son, paying his own son as a ransom. All right, we're going to continue. It says, verse 18, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And again, God would never ask us to do something that he's not willing to do himself. And here is another example of that. "Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And God did just that. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he didn't just say it, but he did it. Because of God's love, it moved him to action. And so, that is the true love that we have. If it says here that we should not love in word, and really it's not possible. If it's only love as it comes out in deeds. And it says also in verse 17, "He who has his world's good and sees his brother has need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" How can you say you have the love of God in you and you are not willing to help your neighbor or your brother or whatever who is in need, when you have the ability, you have what is needed to help him out? Then when he says love in word, not only in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." There again is that word he continues to use throughout this book is, this is how we know. This is how we know that we are of the truth. You know, if we love, are able to love in deed and in truth, not only in word, "and shall assure our hearts before him. And if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." And I'm not exactly sure what that's saying there, but I believe that you know, there's something that, you know, within us, our hearts condemn us, or our conscience, you could say, when we are neglecting to do something that we know we ought to be doing. And so, then, in verse, because it's in the context there of loving in word and in deed, then in verse 19, he talks about our hearts condemning us. No, verse 20. And then it says in verse 21, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." And, you know, when we have that free conscience, when we don't have that condemned feeling inside us, we have that free conscience, we're not, you know, we are walking in the truth, and we have confidence toward God. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Again, very powerful verse there, of keeping his commandments. Do we believe that what Jesus told us to do is real and that we need to keep it? And it is, again, a proof of our love for him. "And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." Again, that instruction to love one another. "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." Again, I just want to emphasize that love. That, you know, this is how we know our love one for another, and keeping his commandments. Very clear, also very clear instructions in the Epistle of John as we read Jesus' last words. So, again, let's look at these verses and evaluate our own lives and ask, okay, so where am I? Am I loving in deed and in truth? Am I living out what I profess to believe? And therefore, if that is the case, then I can have this confidence within me. Well, it is our time is up, so I am going to stop right there, and we will come back tomorrow morning. God bless you.